Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. This is Jeffrey, and there's a reason that I am not Jen, because Jen's here as a guest. The tables have turned. Hi, Jen.
Hey, Jeffrey. There's a reason you're not Jen.
Indeed. Indeed. You wanted to talk a little bit about the listening side of recording and listening.
I did. So I have something of a passion for it in the sense of course, listening. We've talked a lot about over the years that we've been doing the recording. And I just noticed that for me, there's so much I see in listening.
Jen, you are breaking up a little bit. Jeffrey, are you there?
Yeah, absolutely. She was picking up for me as well.
Jen, I can see you there. Oh, we've just lost Jen. Okay, Jeffrey, let's hold on until I'll let you know when she's back on the air here.
Sure.
Jeffrey, let me bring Sherry on here. I don't see Jen yet, and get some guidance from Sherry about how to move forward here. Sherry, are you there?
I am.
Hi.
Hi there. We lost poor Jen.
We lost poor Jen. Yes, she was here, and she's not back yet.
Okay. Well, I don't really feel myself to be an expert on the listening side of recording and listening, but I suppose the three of us could have a little talk about it since it's something that we all do.
Sure.
And then she could sort of sort us out and get us on the right track when she when she joins us.
Great.
So I would say for myself that I love listening, and there was a point at which I wondered if it was just as the tiniest bit egocentric to be so into one's own life process. And then I decided that it isn't, or if it is, I didn't care, because it's such a kindness to the human being to listen, to be listened to, and it's such a comfort for all of the times that we're not listened to, you know, when we were young and not so young, not listened to, not heard, not just by others, but by ourselves.
Uh-huh. And we have Jen back also, Sherry.
Oh, good. Jen, take it away.
that was an excellent start. One of the most interesting technological experiences I've ever had. But I won't use our remaining 6 minutes to talk about that.
Good.
So I was actually enjoying just hearing the very tail end of what you were saying there, Sherry. I think you were talking about how the listening is such a gift because we're finally listened to in a way that really only we can listen to ourselves, something we've been wishing someone else would do for us our entire lives, but they actually can't.
Yes, and that many, many people, we hear many, many people complain that nobody listens to me. You know, I talk and nobody listens to me. And, you know, when a gent point out, well, are you listening to you? And this is a great way to take care of that problem. That's it for me.
Yep.
Jen.
So Jeffrey, I'll cut right to my favorite, which is something I stumbled on as I was, I don't know, some number of years into the listening practice, where I realized, of course, that one of the primary ways that conditioning attempts to create suffering for this person is through a process I called how can I get the most out of? So many good things that, you know, I have a day off and I could this and I could that and I could, and of course it's only meant to end up in suffering. So I realized at a certain point, oh my goodness, it's doing that with my recordings. So I have all these recordings and some of them are in playlists, some of them aren't, and which one do I want to listen to? And I realized that there was a lot of identity wrapped up in, well, how do I want to feel? And which recording is going to make me feel the way I want to feel? And then, of course, when that process is happening, that there's never a satisfaction. Well, that wasn't quite it. You know, that didn't really do it. Gosh, why isn't this working? I don't really, yeah. You know, that sort of a process like that. So it suddenly dropped in one day. How about I just put all the recordings on shuffle and just let life choose?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a process that I call seaweed listening. And the reason I call it that is I had this image drop in of, in the ocean, those huge, beautiful, I've seen them brown, pieces of seaweed that are anchored to something, but that they're completely fluid and they're able to move. So they're so strong, but they're also incredibly flexible. And so I would just picture that as I was listening to the recordings. And it's become an extraordinary practice of, as I'm listening, it's mirrored so beautifully for me what's going on with me at the time. Because instead of having my attention on how I want to feel and what sort of almost this entitled, like, what's this recording going to do for me? Instead, mm-hmm. it's like this receiving of the recording. And in that, I've just had so many awarenesses about the person who's recording, about, you know, of course, what happens with that is that I'll hear a recording from years ago and then followed by a recording I made 2 days ago, followed by a recording 6 months ago, followed by, and all these themes start to reveal themselves, and I start to get to know this person in a way that I could have never orchestrated had I set out to, okay, now let me see what she's, but that life just lines it up so beautifully. And what I found over time is that I really start to fall in love with the person who is making those recordings, and almost this sense mm-hmm. of deep, deep gratitude for this archive that she's created that allows me to get such insight and a deeper and deeper relationship and care for the person that is this, for lack of a better way to say it, because, of course, I'm hearing my own voice on the recording, and yet it does feel like there is this person who's created all of this for me. It doesn't feel necessarily like me as I'm listening to it, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you find yourself falling in love with the you from 2 years ago and the you from 2 days ago. And have you, not to get too meta, but have you begun to fall in love with the person who is willing to take the seaweed approach?
I confess I have, actually.
Mm-hmm.
That there is that too, exactly that. Well, and in a way, it's that gratitude to life for dropping that in, you know,
mm-hmm.
for suggesting that. So here's this karma of wanting to control it all and wanting to get the best thing for me. What am I going to get out of this, you know? And it's such a funny thing to say because, well, these are my recordings for me. But still, having that ego can still take that and try to make it for me, and what am I going to get, and I'm not really getting it, and, you know, that sort of thing. And so that image for me is so helpful of just letting go and letting life make the choices. And I mean, oftentimes I get incredibly religious around it because some recording will drop in that's just, I mean, precisely what I needed to hear at that point. Sometimes even the same content, like I'll forget that 3 years ago, I was going through almost an exact same thing, and that person 3 years ago will offer me guidance, bring it 3 years forward, you know, 3 years forward, and hand it to me through the recorder. It's just, it's an amazing thing.
Yes. Well, and if you were stuck in what's in it for me, that the possibility of that sort of thing happening is lessened, for sure.
Yeah, precisely, because the me who's in the process of what's in it for me actually doesn't want anything for the human. It only wants the life force. And so its entire existence is for the dissatisfaction, so that's what it's going to find. So no wonder in the process of seaweed listening, what I found is an extraordinary satisfaction with everything. And, you know, it's so great because I really take it to a level of, you know, maybe a recording will come on. Like, actually, it's funny. I've had things like, suddenly a song will come up that, you know, maybe isn't, I don't normally listen to songs in my recordings, but I'm in seaweed mm-hmm. listening, and the first impulse is like, ooh, it's kind of grating. I turn it off. But sometimes I'll just say, well, what's that about? You know, what does that mean, grating? What is that? Well, it's not the energy I'm in. Well, what does that mean? What energy am I in, and who is that?
Yeah.
And it's so fun to just let it go and just not be a me, but just kind of watch everything that goes on with that. It's really pretty neat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I could go on forever. It's the top of the hour now.
Good. Thank you for that.
When it seems like you become the openness to life, instead of that orchestrating me, you are the openness to the seaweed.
Mm-hmm.
And that is
mm-hmm.
the process that becomes your practice with the listening.
Yeah. And, you know, Jeffrey, thank you for calling our attention to time. I just want to throw one more thing as you say that, because that's so true,
mm-hmm.
that the other thing it does is it's an encouragement to the person who records, because the voices can come in and go, well, I mean, you've said this a million times before. You've talked about this before. That's not quite the way. I mean, you shouldn't talk on the recorder when blah, blah, blah. You know, all these you voices about how you
mm-hmm.
should record. And yet, I'm always grateful when I listen back. Like, I listened to a recording recently where on the recording I'm saying, oh, this is not going to be fun to listen back to at all. I mean, da, 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 da. And it was extraordinary to listen back to. It was so helpful. So it's real encouragement to the person who records, to the part of me who records, to say, go for it. Just record. It's all helpful. It's all good stuff.
Yes. Yes. There was a specific time when I stopped trying to do it right, trying to organize them, trying to get the thing that I needed at the time, you know, trying to use recording and listening as a band-aid or something, and just enjoyed the process of it.
Yeah, that's
great,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So I'm hoping
Thank you.
As we go into the new year, we'll continue the conversation, and, you know, maybe other folks will chime in with what they see about the listening side of it, because I think there's a lot we can trade insights and secrets about that with each other.
Mm-hmm. So grateful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Jeffrey.
Mm-hmm. Michael and Sherry, over to you.
Okay,
thanks.
Great. Thank you, Jeffrey, and thank you, Jen. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Hello, Michael. That was inspiring, wasn't it?
Yes, it was great. And thank you for jumping in to help facilitate that.
Well, I'm glad Jen came back because I got to see a lot in that. So.
Wonderful.
Very appreciative. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
And thanks to Jeffrey for hosting that discussion, I guess we could say. Facilitating
yes to life.
Saying yes to life, exactly. Yeah.
Wonderful. I have some announcements here, unless there's something else you wanted to start us
off
with.
No.
Okay. Start 2015 committed to Sangha support by registering for our kickoff video workshop on January 18th.
Mm.
And visit livingcompassion.org/this-here-now to sign up. Again, that's livingcompassion.org/this-here-now. That's all one word, no spaces, no dashes.
Mm.
And receive support every week on a reflective listening buddies call. Drop into the moment and talk about whatever is up in your practice. And you can register for the next quarter at schedule.livingcompassion.org.
All right.
And a couple of reminders to make guest show to indicate your desire to talk with Sherry today. On your phone, press *6 and then 1. Again, that's *6 and then 1, and that will put you in the queue. And a reminder to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. Okay, shall
we get
started, Sherry?
All right.
Okay, let me find the folks. Yes. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Well, hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Sherry in San Francisco.
Hi.
Well, hello there. How are you?
Hi. I'm great. Sadly, I missed the first few minutes of the Good News update, but what I caught, I just needed that. That was so awesome.
Uh-huh. Well, you didn't miss much, Sherry, because we lost Jen, and there really kind of wasn't a first part of the his update. So I think you probably got what there was to get.
Oh, that's so great. Because I'll tell you, lately I have been really looking at this part of me who uses the practice, but especially recording and listening, in that way of making myself feel better or trying to fix something.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I heard that suggestion of, instead of it being like, okay, all my money karma's up, let me listen to my money playlist, which is kind of a little bit, you know, I'm seeing, you know, it's kind of a little bit around fixing something or trying to. And it's, you know.
And I think what you're closing in on, what you're pointing at is, it's about not fixing it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're meant to believe that this is going to fix something, but it's actually designed to hold it in place. So the money karma comes up. I listen to this. Nothing actually happened to the money. I mean, I'm just staying in the same relationship. Now I'm on this side of it. Now I'm on this side of it. Now I'm on this side of it. Now I'm back on this side of it. But nothing ever really changes.
Yes. I know. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, you know, Sherry, go ahead.
Go, please. No, please. I want to hear. I'd rather hear what you say.
Well, you start out saying, you know, there we can use recording and listening to make ourselves feel better. And that's a really interesting place because, of course, that's actually pretty much what the Buddha taught, is to learn to direct attention in order to have the life experience we want to have. So what karmic conditioning would tell us is that we need to stay in the world that it's creating, and then we need to accept that. And that's awareness practice, and that's what's going to make us feel better. And that's actually not true, because that world that karma is creating for us is not real. And so there's no sense really in wasting our time attempting to accept something that is not real and, by the way, is unpleasant and causes suffering. So if we turn our attention away from that to what's actually real, we do feel better, which is kind of the whole point of awareness practice.
You know, let me check something out with you that dropped in when you were saying that.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm, you know, when someone's picking up the recorder to listen,
mm-hmm.
I sometimes think, or whoever's picking it up, thinks that it's the, here we go, of course I know, they think it's the content of the recording. But really,
right.
it's
That's
the
right.
turning to something else. It's the turning to compassion.
That's right. And beyond that, the person... And that has to be in quotes, okay? Because it's not, we're not talking about a personality here. But the person who's doing the recording and listening practice is the person we want to live with.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Because that person is practicing awareness. And that's what we want to be focused on. We want to be in conversation with that person who is practicing awareness, instead of practicing being caught up in egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. So just hearing it, just pressing play and listening to whatever is there takes us into a, again, quote, little quote marks, a conversation that is awareness. Even if the person who's recording is talking about, say, an insight. You know, I woke up this morning and I was feeling da 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 da, and as I was looking at it, what I was seeing about that was, okay, that's a person who's practicing awareness. We can go right there with that person, and it's a whole different reality from going into conditioned mind to noodle around about what's wrong with me.
Oh, Is it, okay, let me, because I feel like I can tell the stupid dust is, you know, falling on me right now, trying to catch, this is really, really, I think is so important. And it's like, so even if the person who picks up the recorder, okay, like I'm just going to use money because I've been caught in this like old karma lately. So picks up the recorder and you know, is just talking about, you know, what she's experiencing, you know, as far as, you know, okay, here I've just done my process map, and here's what I see. All of that is awareness.
That's right.
So
that's right.
When I'm
now, that, of course, is a perfect opportunity for a two-handed exercise, right? So you could listen to her go through all of that, right? And then you stop, and you take that in. There's that person, and that's what she's seeing, and she's caught in that, and then let the mentor talk to her.
And what I heard in the Good News update that really kind of really, really got me excited about this whole idea of just throwing them all in a big shuffle is that what I can imagine would happen is that sometimes I would hear that person, so usually when I do the two-handed, I do them as separate recordings. So one time I might hear the person sort of just saying where she is, then I might hear the mentor, then another time I'd hear someone who has an insight, then I might hear someone who's singing. That it, what I was imagining is a whole, like I loved when Jen said that, it's just like someone practicing awareness.
Yes, so you're caught, it doesn't actually matter that it's funny karma, does it? You're caught in karma in a place of suffering.
Yeah.
Anything that you turned your attention to, any recording that you listened to, would be a conversation that would turn your attention away from being caught in the money karma, put your attention on an awareness conversation, and you would accomplish what you want to accomplish.
Yes, and I love it because. You know, whoever was so sweetly trying to, like, categorize their recordings, I mean, I really appreciate that, but I can see that that's keeping the attention on content still,
right,
in a way.
Yes. Oh, in a very real way. And as Jen is saying, so it's the reason that I discourage people from journaling, okay, because the same person always journals. That's why people can read 25 years of journals and they all say the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's that same process. The person who gets caught in money karma is always going to be the same person. That person is always going to say the same thing.
Yep.
So there's no sense in it. Now, if you do the left hand, right hand recording process, then the person talks about the karma and the mentor talks back, and you can listen to both of those at the same time. So the next time you hear that, you hear the person who's caught in the karma, and you hear what the mentor has to say. Okay? At a certain point, you could probably, now this is dangerous, but I'm going to say it anyway, you could probably let go of the conversation with the person who's caught in money karma. Because you know what that is, right? You know what that is. You could do code. You know, you could pick up the recorder and say, I'm caught in that same old garbage about money.
Right.
Mentor, can you give me some? And then the mentor talks, and, well, you know this and that, and you realize that, and you've seen that, and, you know, and now you're here instead of back in some tired old karma that you've really worn out.
Exactly. And it's just this whole, you know, two things that I guess just feel I you know, but it's like, first of all, that, like, not trying to fix, there's nothing to fix, there's nothing wrong, so I don't need to, you know, I know that the categorizing has...
No, there isn't anything to fix, and there isn't anything wrong, but a la, you know, kind of a jag I've been on, and you'll recall a conversation that you and I had at a workshop, so you could contact me if you actually want to deal with money karma, okay? But the thing about it is, when we have a karma, karma is there to be let go, right? That's why it's in our lives. It's not there for us to be in relationship with. It's there for us to let it go, work through it and let it go. And by work through it, I simply mean see what it is and don't do that anymore. Right? So so karma wants us to see karma, be in the conversation about karma, see it the same way every time, make the same choices and decisions, and stay in relationship with the karma. That's the whole karmic picture, right? So what we do in awareness practice is realize that there's a karma about something and start going in the opposite direction. Because continuing in the same conversation with the karma is reinforcing karma. It's not working through the karma.
Mm.
Right? So, again, the one that I would go to, if I want to stop biting my fingernails, then I don't need to have endless conversations about what goes on with me and how I feel and the sensations in my body and what it means about me and how it's because my father this and my mother didn't that. And no, I need to not put my fingernails in my mouth. It's much simpler than those voices in conditioned mind would like us to believe.
I'm trying.
Fortunately, it's recorded.
Thank goodness. I know. Thank goodness, right? That's the thing I love. Yeah. And again, what I think that I heard that, again, is that it's like by shuffling all the recordings, I'm focusing on awareness.
That's right.
And not, it's not about, like you just said, it's not about all these recordings about money and blah, 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 blah. It's more just turning my attention to practice. Just that's it.
That's right. And for that reason, we don't even need to wait until there's something going on to listen to recordings.
Mm-hmm.
We can listen to recordings all the time because that's where we want to live. That's the
mm-hmm.
conversation we want to live in. We want to live in a conversation of awareness, of presence, of here, not in a conversation in conditioned mind about anything, even if that conversation conditioned mind would be labeled innocuous. It's not. We want to be in a conversation for here, even if we're saying things like, okay, there are my feet on the ground, and now there's the left foot going forward, and there's the right foot, and I'm looking around, and I'm seeing the trees, and okay, that's a far better place to live than anything that's going to happen in conditioned mind.
I just had this image of, like, it really is choosing, like, it was almost like, I just had this image of just getting in a rocket ship and going to a different planet. And so, like, just listening to the recordings all the time, just whatever,
Stop being me. Right? That's what it's all about. Me is desperately trying to maintain itself. We need to stop being me. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Not because there's anything wrong with me. That's not the point. The point is that whole story isn't real, and we want to live in real life.
Wow, this is so great. Thank you.
Big, huh? You're very welcome, Sherry.
Yeah.
Take care.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank
Shuffle those recordings.
I am. Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sherry. Sherry, is that rocket ship on the schedule for next year as well?
I do believe we're going to board about the middle of January.
Okay, good. That sounds like a fabulous idea.
Uh-huh.
And we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, my name's Kim.
Hi, would you spell that for me?
Kim, J-I-M.
J-I-M, hi, Jim.
K-I-M.
K-I-M, Kim.
Yeah.
All right, hi, Kim. That's better. I was having trouble making you Jim.
Jim, Kim. Tim, People have called me Tim in the past. Doesn't matter. Really doesn't. I've appreciated. I stumbled across your website, about a month ago, and I've really found it helpful in a lot of ways. I'm also in the Stop Text program, and that's been going well.
Good.
I almost have, you know, this little relationship with the person. It's very interesting. We're very supportive. It's a two-way street, although obviously we don't know anything about each other, and it's quite nice.
Yes, it's really the best way.
It is. It's very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very deep practice of being in the present moment, of being in nature. I'm very blessed to have this gift of having this. But recently went through a loss of a pet, very, very sudden loss of a very dear pet that was a soulmate in dog form, let's just put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I took her for a walk. The next day she got so ill, I had to call a friend of mine out. She was in Tucson. I had to call her here to come. It was 10 days. She was in the bed. She didn't get better. We had a wonderful experience with her, though. Wonderful experience of experiencing everything, like, together with her, seeing her, being with her. But yet, I just feel, okay, so it's happened. She's gone. We had to make that decision. It's uncomfortable when you make that decision, I think. It's not just a natural thing, but I know it was the most compassionate thing. But...
Mm-hmm.
Her energy is so strong, and I'm just trying to really understand, like, there's a lot of stuff coming at me, I guess, like, physically, like, there's just a lot. It's just a completely different situation, so when I sit or when I'm feeling anything, it's just completely, it's like I'm having electric shock therapy. Do you understand if there's the intense emotion, intense energy, because she was that special, the whole situation, and just it's been really intense, and I need to leave in like 2 days, and my friend needs to be here by herself. Just being here in the house, I mean, we made it a little sanctuary, and it's nice, and I feel her everywhere, but do you understand what I'm saying? I'm just having a hard time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perhaps I don't need to say anything more. I'm trying. Yeah. I'm getting tied up. My breathing is getting tight. I'm not. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What would you suggest?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're grieving, right? It's just a very powerful relationship that you had, a very powerful spirit in your life, and now there's a transition, and it's incredibly difficult to go through. It can
normal.
Feel like, yes, well, you know, when we're fortunate enough to have those kinds of connections, then what we also get to experience is how incredibly difficult it is to get through losing them.
It's a physical form. I miss her physical form, and I know everything is impermanent. I know all this, and I know, and I know she's in the wind,
We know all that. And it doesn't do us a darn bit of good, does it?
No, because she was quite special, and
So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, but as you breathe a little bit there. If you were, and I not to go up to your head to think, but just to kind of see what drops in for you. Probably this is something that you've considered a lot, so it might be closer than we would think. If you had to kind of in a sentence say what she was doing in your life, what would you say?
Yeah. She brought about the essence of just being. Like, you know, Eckhart Tolle wrote the book Guardians of Being, and he just, it was just summarized so well, you know, in like this little character book, and just put so well into words. But she was just the essence of being alive, being in the present moment, and just mm-hmm. going with the flow of what life dealt with her. And I have another dog currently, you know, he's the same way, but she embodied some kind of, she was just different. Mm-hmm. And she, I suppose it's also because she was, you know, with me through a lot of difficult situations, the passing of, you know, other people in my life, and she was always there, and she would just look at me and have this guidance and wisdom. And the day before she passed away, we had this wonderful day, and she hadn't touched me with her paw on my leg in so long because she had gotten older, and she just wasn't doing that. And all of a sudden, that night before she passed away, she comes up and puts her paw on me and did that little thing that she would do. And just the whole situation couldn't have been any perfect, to be quite honest, as difficult as it was, but it was the most blessed situation. So, yeah, to answer your question,
okay.
She embodied just being.
Yeah, and you now know that in yourself in a way you didn't before.
Probably not. I think I knew it, but, yeah, there's something that's been given more as a gift, yes.
Yeah, and in fact, you can now recognize that quality in your other dog. And you can see the subtle differences. You can see that he does have that, but it's to a different degree. It's not the way she embodied that, the way she is.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. And
I think my main component is I'm worried about my friend. I have to leave. And that was like her companion. And so I'm trying to talk her into getting another dog and all this stuff. But, you know, I need to let life unfold.
That's right. And you know, there's some old wisdom that is accurate is what I was trying to say. And one is that time does take care of it.
Right.
It does. And at a certain point in our grieving, we can actually feel upset about that. Feel disloyal or unloving or... you know, we shouldn't just let go of those that we love, but we have to, and that's how it works, and it will.
Yeah.
And so
right.
For us, just to have the patience and the willingness to go through it.
I'm just so grateful for the practice, just to keep me centered, to have a focus that I can return to the breath, be grateful for every breath that I have.
Yep.
Be grateful. Life is uncertain. And just be grateful. Practicing gratitude and compassion. I think the transform thing today on the app, I think it was today. I love it. I follow it every day. It's so helpful. And I make a little note sometimes, but it's so simple and so helpful. And today I think it was about, you know, think thoughts of compassion and kindness. And that's all I can do for myself in this situation.
Yes. And you know that thing that we're familiar with, again, one of those things that we can really resonate with the truth of, treat yourself, love yourself the way she loved you.
Right.
Yeah, and all will be well.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. I'm really glad I came upon your website. I'm glad I'm engaged in the community, and I plan to be for a while. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Take good care.
Take care.
All right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Kim. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to break to hear from our coaches program, and then we'll be back.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The practice theme for this year is upping your game. We are all spiritual athletes in the game of life, and we can train to participate joyfully in the spirit of play. Yes, we are up against a worthy opponent, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate. But we can up our chances of success by getting a personal trainer, a Zen awareness coach. The awareness coaches are guided by Sherry Huber to offer individual coaching around any number of life issues or awareness practice in general. Coaching places a special emphasis on recording and listening. We hear from folks new to practice and from old timers that awareness coaching provides the extra support their heart desires. Since coaches donate a percentage of their fees to practice, getting a coach assists us to support ourselves while supporting practice. To request a Zen Awareness Coach, visit sanghamarket.com, go to the services section, click on the little monk, and then follow the directions. We hope to hear from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, can you hear me?
Ow.
Now can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh. This is Karen. Hi.
Hi, Karen. How are you?
I'm great. I had my earphones on. I'm listening on the app, and I don't really know what's happening, but you can hear me?
Yeah, if you sound right.
Okay, great. So I was listening to last week's show, and one of the callers said when she just gets in the queue to let life decide about talking or not, and that's what I decided to do this week. Well, I'll listen, and I'll just get in the queue, and then life will decide if I'm on the air.
Yeah, and we can see what life decided.
Yes, and I'm really nervous right now and shaking. I wanted to talk about today, and it was all about saying yes to life, because nothing went as I had planned, and it was the most beautiful day that I've had in a long, long time.
Wow, that's a lovely combination. Us more.
Well, and part of it was, and it all revolved around a practice opportunity. I received some guidance from the monastery yesterday about getting a tetanus shot for my upcoming visit, and got an ego went ballistic.
And then I
noticed that and said, well, I'll check into it. And today I checked into getting a tetanus shot, and life opened the door to allow it to make that happen. And considering where I live, it was kind of a miracle. And today was the only day that it could have happened, and I haven't had a tetanus shot in 20 years. So it was a perfect opportunity to let life lead.
Now, this is a bit of an aside, but given where you live, you would actually be a good candidate for tetanus shots, huh? More regularly than once every 20 years.
That is exactly what I saw today.
Very good.
This is why I feel so grateful that, you know, to say yes to guidance, to say yes to what life has asking me to look at, and it's not about content, and in this particular instance, the content was really valuable.
Life-saving,
and yes. And then the fun thing was watching ego maneuver around the whole incident, because at first it was really complaining and was really put upon. And I continued in a cheerful way to take the steps that I needed to take today to make the tetanus shot happen. And then once it happened, ego flipped to the other side of the coin about what a good girl how good it was, and how everything's, you know, spinning all the stories on the other side of the duality.
It is never without a story, is it?
It's never without a story. And, you know, this year has been such a year of deepening practice for me that more and more it's just there. And this was also pointed to on the show last week about it's there, we notice it, and we're going on with our life. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just, it's like so many things in life. You know, in the summertime, where I live, probably where you live, we have mosquitoes, you know, and they're just there. And we know that. And they're not our favorite, but they're just there. And so we can't let them stop us from doing anything that we want to do. Traffic is that way. Places being open and closed, or having what we want or need, or not having it, or, you know, life is just an endless string of those kinds of experiences that are not what ego says we should be experiencing, but happen to be what life is, and we just go along.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, and it's very interesting, and then other things happened today that were not part of my plans, and ego wants me to get really urgent and tense about, you know, leaving in a few days and being gone for many weeks
a long time,
and, you know, it's just so much fun to let it be what it wants to be, or that's not even to let it do what it wants to do, and then for me just to put one foot in front of the other with a smile on my face with the confidence that all is well, and that's a big shift for me.
Yeah, it's being on parallel tracks, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're just going along there with life, trusting that whatever happens in your life is the very best thing for you.
Yes.
You know, whether we like it or not, it's the very best thing for us because it's in our lives.
Yes.
And we practice awareness, and what we're doing is waking up and ending suffering, and therefore everything is a benefit to us. And then there's on this track, running along next to that, is this: everything is wrong and nothing is the way it should be. And by the way, it's all your fault. And okay, well, we just can't put energy into that. It's not helpful.
It's not helpful, and it's such a miracle to have a visceral experience of it that just is in the body. It's just here.
Mm-hmm.
It's here in a way that I've never felt it before.
Yeah, that all is well. That's
all. That
expression covers it better than just about anything, doesn't it? All is well.
All is well.
We don't need to parse it out. We don't need to divide it up into this isn't, that isn't, and this could be better, or that's it. It's all, everything, it's all good. It's all well. All is well. Yeah.
All righty.
Relaxing.
Oh, so relaxing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to carry on here.
All right. Well, get packed. See you soon.
All right. Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night, Karen.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself? Next
Hello?
Caller, are you there?
Oh, hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. Can you hear me? This is Pasha.
Hi.
Pasha, we could not hear you. How
no?
are you?
Well, you could not hear me?
No. Not until you said...
Oh.
You said, and then we were all excited that we heard you.
All right. Yay. So it's Wolf. It's been a few months I'm trying to reach, and I'm so excited to be on the air, and like a previous caller, I don't have a specific topic, and too many topics that conditioning wants to go to, so here I am.
Here you are. How is life? How is practice?
It's great. I'm actually in such a good place with practice. Practice works. Life is beautiful. So Usually I would call open air when there is kind of a problem, but it's just my first time using this new platform, and I'm just committed to be connected, and this is one of the way to connect with practice is to call open
uh-huh.
air.
Yeah,
yes.
just to stay connected. Not
yes.
because there's anything wrong or any big topics or that sort of thing, but just because it's Sangha. It's like the reason that we go to meditation. We go to meditation to meditate together, right?
Yes.
We just do that. Yeah.
Yes. And I heard, what ring true earlier in update is using practice as a medicine. So there's been my kind of battle with conditioning for a long time, as I would go to meditate when I feel kind of bad or like I need to. And the same with recording and listening they were talking about. So this is a very familiar topic.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I've been in the places when I come after retreat and hear conditioning habit well, enough of that, you know, let's do completely something else. I go into a belief of I'm kind of cured myself, I'm done with practice, and now I can snooze until,
get on with going to sleep.
Get on with what?
Going to sleep.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I'm in a point of my practice where I'm just not buying into this belief. I'm not having any any sickness, to take a practice as a medicine.
Mm-hmm.
It feels great. I might be sliding into some other dangerous thing, which I'd like maybe check in with you. I feel big rise of energy in me, in the body, in just life, it's an unusual place to be. And
uh-huh.
I'm,
to have so much energy?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So much energy and nothing wrong, and conditioning is feeling queasy as the old stories don't work. A lot of stories I listen sometimes, I found one, and I feel compassion for the person who has been caught up in it, but at the same time I'm laughing a little bit because it's just not sticking to me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, Pasha, here's my best encouragement with
mm-hmm.
that energy. Find ways to use it for you. Now, probably the very best way is to do something physical. Go for some long walks in nature, or if you enjoy a sport or that sort of thing, so that the energy is modulated, so that it doesn't build up, and when a lot of energy builds up like that, it can go in a couple of directions. One is sometimes people will act out in ways that are supportive of the ego but bad for the person, and sometimes it'll result in depression. So to be sure that you're keeping the energy moving, just keeping it moving. And when you have a lot of energy, of course, one of the advantages is we don't need as much caffeine or sugar or things like that ego wants us to indulge in. So then you just have that energy and you just get to have it for yourself and feel good and enjoy it and you know, as Karen was saying, walk around with a smile on your face and and feel good about being alive.
Yes, yes, and I agree with all this, you know, 3 points. The physical activity, that's what I do, and actually I feel like it gives me energy. And this morning routine, and which also involves me, you know, biking, cleaning, and it gives energy, as before would be like, well, I don't have energy to do that. So that's what I'm discovering. Then I've discovered also I've been through all energy outbursts or like acting out, and you know, for some period of time, then I, you know, catch myself, okay, and I'm not even going into like blaming or punishing myself for that acting out. I feel I come to those people who witnessed that. I apologize. You know, I say, and sometimes I find I can't repair. I apologize, but the things are broken, and the outburst of energy just made a little explosion, I'm not going into like feeling bad for the damage I've done. I've done the best repair I could also, and another thing I'm noticing. As I breathe sometimes, I feel like that on the point of exhale, somehow something is like a wave or something goes through my blood to like different parts of the body. So this is just maybe I'm this new place or with a high energy, or I'm maybe in a place of more noticing how the body works, but it's fascinating to be alive, grateful to be alive, and also it's a miracle, kind of from a from a scientific point of view, to be in this lab and things going on in this magnitude. So again, I'm in a place of not knowing. I don't know what it means. I don't know where it came from. I just see I'm in an unusual place. And and conditioning is constantly trying to, you know, get me into like familiar places. And I'm like, no, I'm just gonna stay in this unknown place, and unknown things keep happening.
Yeah. Just going to stay here and breathe and smile and enjoy being alive. That's funny.
Yes. And also some time ago, I heard maybe on open radio, maybe in one of the talks, the thing about the twinkling. So it feels to me sometimes I twinkle.
Yes.
And I'm all around the Christmas lights. So I feel like those Christmas lights. It's like it's not like shiny like a thing, but it twinkles.
And you know what, Pasha? In the same way, you know, at this time of year, short days and dark, and we hope lots of rain and that sort of thing. We're getting our nice winter weather. People want bright lights, right? Because it makes you feel better. And so that's just twinkling. Being around people and twinkling accomplishes the same thing. It just feels good to be in the presence of somebody's energy when they are twinkling. It's a great gift.
Yes, and I notice people are like kind of strangely magnetized. You know, they come, they give me hugs. They're not like for any specific reason. And I find myself in strange places. I come and interact with them, and it's a good interaction, but there is no goal, no result. We're not, visiting other beings.
Yes.
It might be strange.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's
so
great.
Right.
That is great. It's great to hear.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm glad you're out there twinkling.
Yes, and I'm so grateful for practice, and it really, really works. Thank you so much.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Good night, Pasha.
Good night, Sherry. Good night, Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Pasha. That was a fun, twinkling conversation, Sherry.
I'm telling you, it's a good thing.
Yes, it is. And I think we have time for one more caller here.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi, Sherry. This is Connie in Ohio.
Well, how are you?
I am. I'm smiling, and I feel like my insides are twinkling. That was wonderful. I can't believe I'm on. I feel really good right now, and I have been decidedly absent on Tuesday evenings for the last few months since I saw you in our fair state. And
it wasn't anything I said, was it?
No. Well, you know what? It was speaking of money karma, and that was a thing I was kind of running headlong into, or I should say against a brick wall of. You suggested some imago work around that, and I did that. And then I ended up heading into some other areas. I listened to the archives last week, and I heard somebody talking about a support group that wasn't supportive around different beliefs and things, and I'm sitting here trying to say, yeah, but there's nothing wrong with me. It's not a problem to fix. So that first conversation was really good. And what I keep thinking about is something I once heard you say about the voices of egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, not caring one whit about the content of the conversations mm-hmm. going on, period,
mm-hmm.
no matter
period.
What it is, period.
That's right.
And
that's
so
right. Yep. As long as there's suffering involved or the potential for suffering, they're happy to talk about anything.
And they'll be happy to talk about that for 25 years in journals or while I'm
yep.
recording and listening or anything. And one of the things it was occurring to me about recording and listening, which is not to use it as a journal. I started just not listening to it again, whatever it was.
Mm.
I'm not saving things. I'm not listening back to anything because it's kind of past and done. So I'm transitioning into that.
I make a suggestion?
I'm curious about what you would have to say about that.
Yeah. Yes, to not using it like journaling. But I find it tremendously helpful for recording insights and awarenesses. Clarity about something. I like to use it to chart my practice. So if I'm looking at something, I'm working on an issue, and I'm bringing conscious awareness to a particular issue, and I record the insights about that. Because with karma, you know, we because we don't usually have the ability to get a lot of distance on ourselves. We can't see how really simple our issues are, that we have maybe 3, 4, 5 things that we live in all the time. Our friends know it. You know, they if we ask them, they would tell us what those 3 to 5 things are that we're in all the time. And so when we start looking at a particular piece of karma and we're having insights and clarity about it. So there I am in Karma Story 1, and I'm having all these insights and awarenesses, and I'm looking at it, and then about the time I get some clarity on that, karma just drags me over into Area 2. Right now the world is a completely different place. I've forgotten all about Karma 1, and now I'm in this place, and I've got all these problems and all this stuff, so I start looking at that, getting some clarity about that and working on it and having insights drop in, and then I'm over in 3, right? About the time I I get to working on five, I get popped back into one. Now I can't even remember that one ever existed. But if I have those recordings, then I can realize the kind of overall picture of my awareness practice that I'm trying to get enough distance from the human being, from the incarnation and the karma attached to that human being, that I can start to see the patterns. So I think that's a very helpful aspect of recording and listening. If that made any sense at all.
Yeah, something that just dropped in there was how I've tended to think, oh, this is the big one.
Yes.
And you're right. It's really 1, 2, 3, 4. I could look at 25 years of journals. I could talk ad nauseum into a recorder, but it really is 1, 2, 3, 4. And that's just conditioning, getting me with whatever it is I'm going to fall for.
Yes.
Which
precisely.
Is always about 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yes, precisely. And so listening to those recordings can help us keep that at the front of our conscious awareness. So the next time, you know, it comes in with, well, but this is the big one. You go, wait a minute, I just heard yesterday that other one was a big one, and before that one was the big one, and so I'm not falling for that. I am going to pay attention to it, but I'm not going to get caught up and start believing stuff and go down a primrose path.
Or walking on broken glass.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I like
to say
exactly. Karma is there to be let go.
Yes.
We see it, and we
very often, now this is not always true, but very often the way out of karma is just to turn squarely around 180 degrees and start doing the exact opposite. Just walk in the opposite direction from it.
What I wrote here, what I was making a little note, I wrote down, see what it is and don't do that anymore. Take contrary action.
That's right. That's right. And if nothing else, it'll be illuminating. Right? I'll get to see a lot because those voices that constantly pull me into that karma do it by saying particular things and getting me to feel certain ways, right? Now, I'm doing something completely opposite. Those, they can't use the same conversation, so I'm going to have a chance to see a whole lot of new stuff, and that's going to be really helpful.
Right. That's exciting. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank
you,
Sherry.
Yeah, it is exciting. Oh, you're very welcome. Don't be a stranger now, huh?
Thank you very much. And thank you to Michael and happy weekend holiday stuff.
All right. And to you, Connie. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Connie. And it's the top of the hour here, Sherry.
Oh, it certainly is. What perfect timing, huh?
What a great show. I really enjoyed that.
I did too, Michael. Is that's our last one of 2014?
2014. Can you believe it already?
Woo! All right. So I guess I'm going to see you. Now, what happens next week, Michael? Do we do anything or does it just...
No radio
blank?
Show next week. No radio show on December 30th.
Okay.
And
all
then
right.
We'll have pick it up again on Tuesday, January 6th.
Tuesday, January 6th. Okay, now
somebody
write that down and call in because we'll have 2 weeks where people just come tune in and we're not there and they'll think, oh, no, they went off the air. Oh, well. And they'll give up.
We're only off 1 week. We're only off next
week. 1 week. 1 week.
We'll
okay.
On.
All right. One week. See, I make sure I'm here.
Yeah, and we only have about 1,000 hours of archives that people can listen
right.
to.
Right, people just tune in to. Yeah, well, that's what I was kind of wondering. Is there a little announcement that says you're invited to listen to an archive, or is there just dead space when somebody tunes in?
I will. There's just dead space there, and I will have a notice put up on the website on the open air page.
Oh, that's good. That's good. I appreciate that. All right.
Perfect.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you,
Take
Sherry.
Take care. See you soon.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night.